right, so we're here again, another Manat Digital podcast. I'm Skip Garrett, a senior analyst on the team, here with Ned Sherman, our counsel and director. And today we have Rodney Williams, founder, co-founder, and CEO of Listener. Rodney, how you doing? Thanks for coming out.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So kind of let's start out, Rodney, and tell us the backstory, your story, actually, a little bit about you, what you did prior to Listener, and then how you decided to start this company, the why behind the company.
Yeah, I mean, my backstory is I'm originally from Baltimore. Grew up there. I don't know how far back I should go, but I ended up at undergrad at West Virginia and grad school at Howard. Wanted to go into marketing mainly because of an entrepreneurship company that I created in undergrad. Got into P&G the old-fashioned way, where you fill out the application online. Yeah. Ended up on Pampers as an intern, and I did really well. And then I got the full-time job. So I was a brand manager at Procter & Gamble for almost 5 years as I started to think about Listener as a concept. The premise, or I think originally it was more so about, could we use a technology like this to understand audience measurement better? And the original idea was just, creating a technology that could almost be anywhere that a consumer could be. We thought, there's whole premise about voice enabled everything. Mm-hmm. Before people thought about that, I thought it was a sound enabled everything. Mm-hmm. And the ecosystem of sound was already around us with screens and television and the way we talk to our devices, or interact with our devices, or use our devices to talk. So if there was a technology connector in between those, then we could create more connections than ever before. And that's a little bit of premise, and that's kind of how this thing all started. I had a wild idea, named it Listener. Met my co-founders, which were complete strangers at the time, and we started to build this thing 3 months after a startup competition.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with you guys, can you give us like a use case of what you guys do in practice?
Yeah, so Listener, the simplest way we can describe it is that we're a wireless transmission company. We created software that transmits data from point to point. And point to point is short range wireless transmission comparable to Bluetooth, NFC, why you would use a QR code or things like that. Now, the magic is that we're actually using near ultrasonic audio to transmit that data. So it's inaudible to the human ear, but it's receivable and broadcastable, that's the word, by speakers and microphones. So the use case tends to be anywhere that you would want short-range identification data transmission for some purpose. So that's when you pay for things using a mobile phone. That's when you are connecting to your devices. That's when you are, trying to use a badge to get into a building or a ticket into a venue or a key to your car. We feel pretty confident that we could displace QR codes for that purpose. Mm-hmm. So think of, instead of using QR code for access control, mm-hmm. like a ticket, there's a securer method, and that would be Listener. In payment world, NFC is being used to power Apple Pay and Google Pay type scenarios. We believe sound is a better conduit, not to necessarily displace the NFC usage, but think about NFC like transactions in more places than ever before. Every parking meter, every parking station, every kiosk. The answer isn't more expensive POS devices with more NFC chips. The answer could be just leveraging the devices that we already have and be a software update. So we're kind of in that entire world, but some of the use cases that are driving the most of the adoption today revolve around financial services and ticketing, and it's really around that mobile pay type of scenario or that mobile access type of scenario.
Cool. So those are the use cases. Are you able to talk about some of the companies that you've worked with and some of the clients you've brought on board that actually use the technology today?
Yeah, I mean, Ticketmaster is one of our customers. We announced that last year. We announced partnerships in the auto industry with like Jaguar, Land Rover. In financial services, we announced partnerships like Visa, doing things in Asia with companies, and that's some of the names that we've worked with thus far. doing a lot of work in kind of smart transportation with a company called Deutsche Bahn out of Germany. That's the number two largest transportation company in the world. If you actually see what we're trying to do, if the premise of sound is a better connector, we're on the hunt for the world's most innovative companies that want to reinvent the last 3 feet. Because that's essentially what we've just reinvented. The last 3 feet has essentially been dominated by the keys in your pocket, the magnetic strip, the barcode. It hasn't yet really truly been digital yet.
You know, we talk a lot at Manat Digital about innovation, and it seems like that concept is so core to you, your personality, what you do, what your company does. What does that kind of mean to you when you think about innovation?
Yeah, you know, I think the only reason why we've gotten here is that I think we've created an innovation engine that is doing pretty well. To me, the innovation is not the end product. It's just the process. And I think if you invest in the process, I think the outcome is the process, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that is the most valuable thing that's going to withstand the momentary innovation or the momentary output of that innovation. So for us, it's a process. It's a process of tension, collective diversity, and natural objection, I like to say. But we want a room full of people that not necessarily they agree on a particular vision, but they completely disagree on the ways to enable that vision. And what happens is that tension, I think, produces really creative ideas, strategies, and how to develop or how to go to market. And I think that's how we've been able to kind of create an entirely new technology, start to bring that to market, and start to drive use cases that make sense.
So sound is kind of your medium that you leverage, and in the last couple of years, smart speakers have become a big thing. Is there a play for listener in the smart speaker realm? Echo, the HomePod with Apple, Google's device?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think there is a connected device that there's not a play for listener. Mm-hmm. I think the voice-enabled world or the voice-enabled speakers are naturally poised for listener. There's a great video online. If you just type listener in Alexa, and you can actually see a demo of us telling Alexa specific functions that are then controlled by listener's ultrasonic audio. And think about the core pieces. Alexa doesn't necessarily know what device is near Alexa. It just knows which device is on the Wi-Fi network. So if I say Alexa, buy X. Alexa buys X, doesn't necessarily know that it's me or it's tethered to my phone or I'm the person. It can't differentiate the owner of the Alexa device versus the friend who visit. Mm-hmm. More importantly, if I want to access some secure information, Alexa, tell me my bank balance. What's the security process mm-hmm. that authenticates that you're there and you're the one who wants that? And these are the types of things we really want to use Alexa for, right? Mm-hmm. So think of all of the secure actions that you would want to. You would want it tethered to a device nearby to make sure that it associated the right information. Things like that. Things like when a friend comes over, you should be able to say, check Ned in. Sign Ned to Wi-Fi,
yeah.
Right? Number one, the world of sharing our credentials should be completely changed. Credentials should be shared between a secure method like sound, and the authenticator is that it's nearby. I'm nearby the owner, and then I'm given nearby access to the next owner. So, I mean, these are just really functions that a lot of folks aren't thinking about, but I call them the nearby functions of security and access and control, and I think that's where we're playing.
You know, I'm always curious to hear founders talk about scale and how you're going to achieve scale. And, it seems like you're in a really strong position right now, but undoubtedly there must be some challenges ahead of you. What are the challenges for you in seeing further adoption and scale in your business?
We have a ton of challenges, if you can imagine. It's number one, our first challenge at the end of the day is that it was a new technology and awareness was relatively low. And I would still argue that it's relatively low. Mm-hmm. So you're doing, when you are selling, you're educating as well. Mm-hmm. Today, our education is a little bit less and is more about validation. And that's a little bit different. But I mean, that's our challenge with new technology. I think what I do think as we look at scale and growth, for us, it's about creating those design or those marquee wins with core customers that can demonstrate into the entire marketplace that this is a viable solution. It's about partnering with strategic partners like the Visas of the world, like the Synchrony Financial, one of our investors, to kind of prove out the standard within payments, the standard within auto, the standard within connected devices. I think when you think of us, we could have gone a different route, but I think we've gone a very platform approach. And let's partner with the industry experts. And the industry experts are the implementation partners, the integrators, and ultimately our customers as well.
We've seen over the last year or so some challenges that companies have had culturally. The founder and CEO at Uber kind of got into some things there, and then some media and other tech companies are dealing with, you know, diversity issues as well. Can you talk about how not only innovation but diversity is a huge component of your success and your company's success?
Yeah, you know, I think diversity is it's a hot topic for a reason. I think it's all a good reason. I always say, number one, you know, before I always answer my diversity question, our number one goal is to make a successful company. Because I think the best way that I can make an impact to any community is to make a real impact. And that's probably monetarily, or that's probably with actual jobs, right? So my goal is not to necessarily create a social impact organization. It's actually to create an enterprise technology organization that can touch every mobile device in the world. So that's our number one goal. Now, I do think that when you appreciate diversity, and it's not an agenda but a way of life, then you tend to think and see things a bit differently. And whether that's, you know, I always say, I grew up in Baltimore. I went to school in West Virginia. I then went into the government. So I worked at Lockheed Martin in Department of Energy. Then I went to Howard University, might have said that already. Then I moved to Cincinnati. There isn't an environment that I haven't felt comfortable in. And if you kind of meet my friend sets, I think everyone gets a little weirded out, because I got friends from West Virginia that look like friends from West Virginia, right? And then I have friends from Ohio and Kentucky and Baltimore and New York. And I've grown to kind of appreciate the common thread between people, and I've grown to be able to extract common purposes. So at Listener, we hire the best people that can do the best job. And we don't care about the nuances of the difference. It's about focusing on, do you think that you can create an impact at this company and driving a next generation technology? And if you think so, everything else. And that's just what we teach. So a lot of the personal, you know, associations or this, that, we try to remove that, because it should be about the team. It should be about the unit, the army unit. I like my war analogies, but those are the things that matter to us.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier before we went on air here about some of the events that you and I have both been to, and you know, I've heard you speak. You're an inspirational speaker in so many ways, and you know, I just like to kind of ask you, you know, what do you tell kind of those who are thinking about going the entrepreneurial route, and how do you inspire or kind of guide folks who are thinking about taking that career path?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing about it, you know, entrepreneur, non-entrepreneur, I think it's like, you know, making sure that you completely remove that sense of apathy that we tend to develop at the corporate world or in school or at home. I think we're, as a society, we tend to like teach doing the same thing over and over again, right? Like, we teach being above average is okay, or average is okay. I think And taking risk is maybe not fun, or it's dangerous. You know, don't do that. You know, it's
a fear of failure.
And I think that's the part you have to get over. Don't ever take this entrepreneurship journey before you are comfortable being uncomfortable and taking risks and going after what you believe in. And I think that starts in a day-to-day job. You know, I remember when I knew I was ready when there was an agenda at P&G, and I really believed it was the right thing to do. And I did not let it go. Like, I just didn't let it go. It was the right thing to do. It was clear as day, and it needed a fundamental change. And eventually, I pushed it through. Eventually, it worked out, and everyone was like, wow, Rodney. But that could have went totally left, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. They could have been like, Rodney doesn't know how to work with the team. Mm-hmm. He's this and that. And I just think we need more of that. Mm-hmm. Or we need to teach culture that reward that. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay. It's not a bad thing that you're so passionate about this XYZ. You know what? We're going to figure out how to bucket it and put and output it more effectively. So those are some of the things that I think is really, really important before you even ever think you want to be an entrepreneur, because you have to develop that to have what it takes.
Great advice.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what's next for listener? What's on the horizon for this year? What do you see happening in the next few years? Give us a little taste of that if you can.
I'm doing the same thing we've always been doing. I think I'm gonna start wearing some more blazers. I took a couple of years off of wearing blazers.
You want mine?
You know, I think I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna start dressing up again. Funny thing, I've been doing this for 6 years, and then you know, some people see me now like, oh, you're so casual, and I'm like, you know, I worked at Procter & Gamble, right? And then you know, I worked at the government for that. Yeah, so I got some dusty slacks sitting in my closet, just waiting for love. And I think I'm gonna have a return at some point, maybe, yeah. Maybe like a cool return.
Right. With the sneakers.
With the sneakers. Right. I think the sneakers are here to stay. I said blazer. Oh, man. But, you know, I think for us, you know, this is a big year for us. This is the year where consumers will be able to interact with it, mm-hmm. right? We'll be able to point to a device, and you can go to the store and buy it and say, listen, it's there. You'll be able to go to a car, and if you buy that year, guess what? We're there as well. And this is the first time we're going to be able to do that. Historically, we've been like, you know, we got this contract. And they're like, well, can I go to a game yet? And I'm like, well, not yet. It's coming. So we're really excited about that. I think that is going to be a catalyst for adoption. And the best part about it is it's not just U.S., right? It's Germany. It's Asia. It's Europe. And that's just exciting. I think it's going to be exciting to be able to look at something and say that's our technology.
We have time?
Yeah.
And that brings up a great question. And I'm always kind of curious about when companies decide that the time is right for global expansion. What are the triggers that indicate that time is here, and how do you go about, you know, global expansion?
Yeah, and you know, I would even argue that we haven't made that decision yet. Okay. I think the decision that we have made mm-hmm. is that we're going to work with the world's best companies and solve a pain point for them, mm-hmm. and we're going to find that those first adopters anywhere they are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we kind of been doing. Trust me, we talk to every auto manufacturer, but the one that jumped is the one that jumped. So I think that's what we've been doing thus far. Now, I think once we have these marquee customers live, right, I think you'll see their approach be a lot more focused in a particular area, a particular region. I do think we're going to raise another round of funding. I think a lot of that will be, what will global expansion look like?
Would you look for a strategic investor, or you know, what's your thinking on the type of investor you guys will be interested in?
Yeah, I mean, we always like strategics, because I think strategics offer significant value. That's how we've learned the things that we've learned. So strategics, definitely. Financials, definitely. We are pro strategics. Mm-hmm. Strategics tend to get us pretty quickly. I do think it's important for us in this next round to bring on a financial investor that wants to go the long haul. Mm-hmm. For us, you know, if we can get to 100 million devices this year, there's a path to a billion devices. Mm-hmm. If there's a path to a billion devices, and at some point in the near future, there's going to be a trillion connected devices. Mm-hmm. A billion is a very small percentage, but at a billion devices, we're very interesting company.
To say the least.
To say the least. Because we're going to be sitting in a nice place, but relatively a tiny amount of penetration in terms of the total ecosystem that we could possibly be integrated in. And that's what opens up the scope of this technology. But strategics are going to how we're going to get there.
Okay. Cool. I just have one more question. You've been doing this for 6 years. What keeps you motivated? What keeps you focused? I know you sit on a couple boards for other organizations, so I know that probably is a strain on your time. So how do you stay going at the high level of excellence on a daily basis?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Even my investors are asking this question. Like, Rodney, are you okay? Are you okay? And absolutely not. I was not okay the first day I did this. I was not okay the first year, and then year two, and year three, and year four. No, I'm completely dissatisfied. But that's why I'm motivated, because I wake up every day and I'm still upset. I'm still angry. I still feel like I can do a little bit more. I'm still argumentative with my team. I'm like, what are you doing? Because we still, the vision that excited me day one is almost there. I haven't seen it yet. When I see it, then you can ask me how I'm feeling. Until then, I'm waking up every day chasing that dream.
Well put. We really appreciate you Absolutely. Coming in here and spending time with us, and yep. wish you all the success. We'll be watching what you're doing.
Definitely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rodney. So this is another edition of our Manat Digital Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in.